Well, good morning. And this is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And you have tuned in to a live show called The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And I'm Susie Prez.
And I'm Chris Bessler. Good morning, Susie.
It's been a while, Chris. Good morning.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks since I've been in here.
A few weeks.
At the microphone. But it's good to see you.
Yep. Nice and to have you back.
You kept the ship afloat these last several weeks while I was out.
Month and a half.
Yeah. Well, if you're counting, okay.
6 weeks. I've done this by myself. No, I've had help.
You've had a lot of good help, actually.
Yeah. So this is the KRFY Morning Show. We are live here in the studios, and we have guests. We have two separate groups of people in. Our first guests are Jennifer Crooks. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Susie.
And Sarah Clintworth. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
Important people involved in Urati's Village, which we'll hear all about. It's a Ethiopian village for children, and a lot has happened since we talked to you last, and we want to hear all about what's going on over in Ethiopia. And then our second guest will be our very own KRFY broadcaster, Bernie Mosier. He has a new show that's going to launch on April 4th next week.
Next Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. And it's called Easy on a Wednesday Morning. Mm-hmm. So we'll hear all about that. But right now we have our current guests in the studio. But before that, what do you want to hear about, Chris?
Well, I got to wonder what the weather's going to do.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell
you. Surely you have some good news for us.
Well, moderate rain, 37 degrees. We're still in a flood watch this morning and through Friday. 100% chance of rain today, high of 44. 90% chance tonight. And a low of 39. And then tomorrow, only a 40% chance of rain. So I don't know what that means. Maybe there'll be little bits of sunshine poking through in that 40%.
40% chance. Mm-hmm. It probably means, yeah.
But the high of 48.
I'm guessing my pump will be running down in my basement.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
That's pretty much what's happening all around.
Yep.
Coming up Saturday, Sunday, it goes down to 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, high 53. So we're getting up into the higher, warmer temperatures, at least.
Okay, classic spring weather.
Yep.
But I will say that this rain down here translated into a bunch of snow up at Schweitzer last night.
Well, there you
go. Still good news for skiers. They got 6 inches in the last 12 hours. They've had 12 inches of new snow in the last 72 hours. So there actually is very good skiing to be had up at Schweitzer still.
That spring skiing attitude.
And a few more things going on outside Lake Pendere. The lake level is at 2056.6. It's up about a half a foot in the past week, and it will start coming up now as they fill the lake for summer pool level, which they don't get to until around Memorial Day. And sunrise was at 6:31 a.m. It'll set at 7:11 p.m. tonight. In the past week, we've gained 25 minutes of daylight per day. So there's your good news about spring, right?
I'll take that.
Yeah. What else is going on around town, Susie?
Well, lots of different things. We have, as you said, spring skiing up at Schweitzer tonight. There's always something going on Wednesday night. There is a Panhandle Forest Collaborative meeting that is at, well, I don't know. You have to.
the details are on the calendar.
On
KRFY.org. I thought I'd throw out a couple of bigger events coming this week. There is the Tour of Magic with Illusio coming to the Panada on Friday, and that's kind of a big deal. It's supposed to be a really cool magic show for the family with a little different take. And another thing happening tonight is ICL is going to have an event at the IPA with Georgetown Brewing Brews, and it's a fundraiser for the Idaho Conservation League's local office.
And when you say IPA, you mean the Idaho Poor Authority.
That's right.
Okay.
Right there.
They do these great Wednesday fundraisers for the nonprofits around town.
Yeah.
And so we want to give a shout out and a thank you to John and Vicky for their continued support of nonprofits.
Yeah, no question about that. And other things, well, we can just steer people to the calendar. Maybe we'll get to a few more community events towards the end of the show as well, but KRFY.org or SandpointOnline.com community calendar. With as usual, there's a ton going on around town.
And if you're listening to this broadcast right now and you can't continue through the morning, you can always go to our website later in the day and it will be up as a podcast.
Yes.
In case you're on your way to work and your work time is 8:15.
Yeah, just go to KRFY.org and look on the podcast page and catch this and all the morning shows there, plus our occasional music shows like Between the Notes. So there's a lot of stuff to listen to generated right here in our hometown. Did want to mention one more thing that on Memorial Field now, the Osprey cam there is now pointed at the nest. It's been watching the construction going on with the grandstands during the course of the winter. But now it's pointing at the nest, awaiting the arrival of the Ospreys. And for the record, the Ospreys last year, first Osprey was spotted at the nest on April 3rd. The previous year, the first Osprey was spotted on the nest April 5th. So
that's coming right up.
That's right. They're pretty consistent. So
right on schedule.
So we might expect to see Ospreys around town beginning next week.
Are they the same Ospreys every year if they make it through the winter?
Yeah, they have high fidelity to a particular nest, but if they get beat into town and other Ospreys get in there, sometimes you'll see them having some skirmishes over the nests.
Wasn't there a goose one year that tried to take over?
Well, actually, that's very common in all of our nests around here. Geese get here before the Ospreys, and they'll often, geese won't build nests. They bogart nests that they can find.
Squatters.
And they'll get in there, and they're big birds. The Ospreys actually can't dislodge them. They'll lay their eggs. But the way it usually works out is geese get here a little earlier. They're on their eggs, and they're hatched by the times the Ospreys really need to use their nest. Geese don't hang out in the nest. They leave within a day after hatch. So a lot of times, geese will end up sharing nests with Ospreys.
Cool. Shared housing. That's pretty cool.
Shared housing, yeah. Ospreys aren't really that keen on it.
Well, there you go, a little Osprey.
A little Osprey fact. Anyways, that can be seen at, if you go to sandpointospreys.com, there's a direct line, a direct link to the live webcam.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've looked at it over the years. It's neat.
It's fun to watch, especially when there's an egg in the nest and all kinds of stuff starts happening, and then it hatches. Anyways, here we are at 88.5 KRFY, and this is the morning show. And let's get to our guests. How about that?
Yes. Again, we have with us Jennifer Phil Crooks and Sarah Clintworth from Urati's Village. Urati's Village, which is an orphanage that you've started in Ethiopia. And we have talked with you on the air before, but for those who may not be acquainted, give us a little description about what Urati's Village is.
Urati's Village is actually the name of our nonprofit. We are building a self-sustaining orphan village in the southwestern region in Ethiopia. The area is called Wolaita. And it's really a pilot project looking to be a model for future villages. Historically, orphanages are a drain on the community, and we've been looking to shift that paradigm and create self-sustaining orphan villages that contribute to the community by sharing food, sharing wells, sharing education. And so the orphanage becomes an asset and really integrated into the community.
So that sustainability is a big part of the whole idea,
right?
Yeah,
it's a critical piece of our model.
This is the first of your models to come into fruition, and just recently a lot has happened. It kind of became a living village.
Yeah. We've had the kids in a rented facility for the last couple of years, and 2 weeks ago we reached a real milestone. We moved the kids to the village, and they left a cement compound that was the rental facility, which was really nowhere, a child should grow up, and now they're at the village. They're in beautiful cob houses built by Sandpoint local amazing builder Eric Keller, and he has really stepped up. He's moved to Soto. He's there 10 months of the year, and he's leading our build there. And that's another piece. He's teaching some of the local builders some sustainable building that he's learned here, and he's also learning from some master Chica workers over there. The guy who's done the chica, the cob on our houses, is a master in the area. And so Eric's learning a lot and he's teaching a lot. And it's a really neat collaborative partnership. And the first two houses are up and running. And we have a baby house up and running. So we have 56 kids on site now. And it's really neat to watch them. I mean, they just were so excited to get there the first night. And you know, they looked down, the village has a view over Soto. And for the first time, these kids saw the twinkling lights down in the village, and they just were amazed. It was really beautiful to watch.
So the village is up on a hill over Soto.
Yeah.
Could you just give us a brief description? If you pulled into the parking area, what would you see? You said there's two houses.
Yes. Yeah. When you first pull in, you come to the baby house, and the baby house is a two-room large building. It's got a covered veranda, and so the toddlers are in one room, and the toddler room goes out onto the veranda so they can
it's toddler be in turn and out.
Out. Toddler turnout.
If you're a horse person, that's what we decided to call it. Very cute.
And it's really neat. The kids can be really in and out, the toddlers, and kind of where they want to be. And then the back room is the baby room, and we're actually going to build a porch on that room as well. And then you go down the hill a little bit. On
it's
the left
of
are
terrace.
Offices. Yeah.
It terraces down, which is really cool.
It is, yeah.
So really how many neat. Babies do you have now?
We have 30-ish wow. babies right now.
Like all underage 2 years?
Underage, yeah, 18 months.
Infant to, no. yeah, to 2 years.
Wow. We're the only facility taking babies and the only facility taking special needs children in our area. And so the need is great. And, you know, the orphanage or the village now, we're out of the rented compound, so I'm trying to stop using the word orphanage. And it's really a village now. And, you know, we have a lot of babies. We just implemented a foster care program, trying to incorporate local families in, and so our children can grow up with local families. And we're meeting the needs in terms of providing food and diapers. And we've just had our first 5 foster families come into the mix, which has been very exciting.
Well, that can be helpful. I wanted you to maybe describe also the day that you moved all the children from the cement compound to their new home. Now, a baby, you can't just say, okay, everyone, sit down in the truck and we're going to move you. Babies have to be held. So how
you
did you move
stack them up
many?
In there.
How was that?
Well, Scott Rulander, local video magician, is actually putting out a new video later this week on the move. But it was just... everybody grab a baby or two. Yeah. And we had a couple of van rides from down in the village, from the rented compound up to Willida Village. And I mean, the kids were so excited. The older kids were helping and they were carrying babies. Yeah. And just the nannies were so excited. I mean, it was like Christmas. And the night before, you know, the team sat and we shared gratitude. And we were all like, you know what? It's like Christmas Eve tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, it's happening tomorrow. And the kids just were so excited. They didn't sleep the night before. And so it was really an exciting, it's been 2 years that we've been working for this point, and it was a big milestone for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a funny little like story about how excited the kids were. We have a couple of older kids who are deaf, and they've kind of, there isn't necessarily like a standardized sign language program in Soto. They have kind of developed their own little version of how they communicate, and they do a great job, but they had a little mime of like, how many nights till we go to Willida Village, you know, with like little hand gestures and like we're counting down. It was very,
yeah, they were making
very
symbols
cute.
For houses and how many, you know, putting up numbers on their hands. And it was, yeah, they were very excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was.
And it's amazing to me to think about the fact that it's just been a little over a year that we were there and we were doing like pretty large scale earthworks and like readying the land to be built upon. And now there's like houses there. I mean, that just blows my mind sometimes when I think about it.
Okay, so you described the baby house.
Yep, I know. I got sidetracked.
No, that's okay. So we sent you off track there with our question.
So the baby house and then some offices are on the top tier. And then the next tier down is where the houses are. And there's one fully complete, one 80% complete. And it's kind of a semicircle looking down over the village. There will be 5 houses there and a community kitchen area, hopefully by the end of this year. And then the bottom tier is agriculture. And that's where a lot of the food is grown on the third tier. And then we are in the process of acquiring the land next door, actually on both sides. The government's going to give us the land on, I'm so bad with directions, on the right side.
looking down on the right.
And we're going to purchase some land on the left side so that we're going to expand the village, which is exciting.
How much acreage do you have right now?
Right now we're just under 3 acres. But the land on the right side is almost 5 acres, and then we're going to buy an acre on the left side.
And is that primarily for agriculture?
Yes. Yeah. The land on the right side will be, we're actually going to do a permaculture teaching program. We have an international permaculture design course planned for 2018 with a lot of international teachers coming in. And the focus of that course is to help other orphanage programs become self-sustaining and kind of change the model. And so we're going to do that on that land, as well as probably we'll put some more housing for children because the need is great.
When you say permaculture, it sounds like you have a master plan and you're getting into it now. So this move was a gigantic first step in that direction.
Yeah, huge milestone.
So a huge milestone.
Yeah.
And so a lot of celebration going on. What else happened during that time of moving in? You had a lot of folks there from outside.
We did. We had Sarah was there. I was there. Nicole Grimm, who's a local nurse practitioner. She's amazing. And she came and did thorough medical checkups for all of our children. She is going to come at least annually and really, really stepped up the healthcare level for our children, which we're very grateful for. We also have Tracy Schmidt and Mary Quinn Hurst, a local physical therapist and occupational therapist who will be joining us in July to teach our nannies, but also to teach the local hospital because there's no PT and OT in our area. And so Sandpoint is really stepping up and joining this project, which is very exciting.
Kind of adopting.
Yeah, it's like we're hoping for a sister city type thing. Oh,
it sounds like a good idea. And when you talk about staffing, the regular staff that is there are the local people.
Yeah. Oh, we have 36 employees over there now, nannies and agriculture folks and managers, and our team over there is just fantastic. We're really, really blessed by an incredible crew over there. So we just, those are the people that are the pillars. Those are the people that live day in and day out this project. And ultimately this project is for them. You know, our goal is to help set it up and, you know, educate where we can educate, learn where we can learn, and then leave the project for them.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that we want to make very clear to anybody listening, that this project is not about us going over to Ethiopia and saying, let's fix what you're doing and let's like tell you how to do it the right way. We have some information that people in that part of the world don't have, but they also have a lot of really amazing information already. Jennifer was referring to Chica, which, you know, cob is kind of a thing over here that's growing and becoming more popular, but Ethiopian people have been using chica, which is basically the same thing. It's just their own like local formula for generations. And so it's more about collaboration than about aid. And that's part of why we're wanting to tie in Sandpoint, because there's so much benefit. I mean, when I go over there, I almost feel like, gosh, I feel like I'm getting more out of this than I'm giving. It almost feels unfair sometimes, you know? And that's a huge, like a foundation of what we're doing, is we're not looking to go over and fix people or a place. We're looking to collaborate and to bring in some new tools, some appropriate technology without, you know, presenting ourselves as like the answer. So I think that's a really important distinction to make.
Yeah, foundations.
Yeah.
A true partnership.
Yeah.
Where you learn from each other to make it better, to help.
Yep. Yep.
You know, some of the information you have on Ethiopia shows that Ethiopia has a huge need for orphans because this country has actually more orphans than any other.
It's got the highest percentage of orphans than any other, higher percentage of orphans than any other country in the world. 5% of Ethiopians are orphans,
and why is that?
Mostly, it's been a lack of clean water. That's the leading cause of death over there: diarrhea, giardia, malaria, HIV, of course.
There's a lot of factors. A lot of factors.
But it's the leading cause is lack of clean water.
And they've also closed adoption.
They've closed adoption for the South. Special needs adoption is still open, and there's a few adoptions being processed out of the capital city, Addis. But for the most part, adoption is shut down.
And why did they make that decision?
There was some corruption in the South, and the government was embarrassed by some of the PR that happened, and so their answer was to close adoption, which left a lot of children needing a family and needing some kind of, you know,
support, some system or something.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY. We're here live in the studios with Jennifer Crooks and Sarah Clintworth from Urati's Village. And we're learning a lot about this village, and I liked what you called it, an orphan village. It's there. You're working towards sustainability. I remember last time you came in, you mentioned this food product that you were working towards. I don't remember the name of it, but
Mitten. The
Mitten. Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that still part of the plan?
It is, yeah. We're making it internally now for our babies and toddlers.
It's a high-protein, high-nutritious formula.
12 different grains and legumes and seeds, gluten-free, dairy-free. A very, very good. The local missionary hospital says it's the best formula they've ever seen. And so we're making it for our children now, and we will be marketing and selling it as part of phase three. The next phase is when we're putting our businesses in place.
So who's coordinating all of this? This obviously, Jennifer, it was your vision coming off from something, you know, just the will to help and the desire to be part of something bigger. Who's coordinating all of this? It's a large operation.
It is, and we are a growing team. I coordinate most of it. But I have Sarah, who's coordinating all of our community outreach and child sponsorship programs. And so she's become extremely valuable part of the team. And Laurent Pelletier, who's our CFO and kind of operations guy. So we have a growing team. We have Warren Brush, who's a expert in permaculture and has 20 years experience with doing resilience design in Africa. So he kind of leads our design project. So we have a very solid team in place now, which I'm grateful for.
And yeah. as we connect more like with the local community, I mean, that's just been amazing. All these awesome Sandpoint folks who are like, I want to come over there and contribute or, you know, give whatever I can give in terms of skills and training, like Nicole and these ladies that are going to be coming over soon, and Eric and Scott, and it's cool how the more exposure we get, the more people come in and are like, hey, I can do this, I can do that, you know, let me provide this. And
that was a neat part of this trip for me. It was the first time we had a number of different things going on. We had a medical team, we had a building team, we had two Canadian veterinarians. A lot of the funding and a lot of the support from Murati's Village comes from the equestrian show jumping world, which is my other business. And we had two very high-level vets come to take care of the donkeys in Soto. And that was an incredible outreach.
Awesome.
It was really, really neat.
Yeah.
They were able to care for probably about 150 donkeys. They did a surgery.
So they just invited people that lived there to bring their donkeys.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did warming and vaccinations and wound care. And so we just had all these different things going on this trip. And it was the first time that I was able to not feel like I had to micromanage everything. Everybody stepped into their role. They own their role. Everybody knows what they're doing. And it was just a really nice feeling to know that we have this strong team in place now.
Progress.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the funding and that the equestrian world is a solid funding source for you.
Our largest funding source is through the equestrian world. They've kind of taken on this project as their...
And this is through your personal connections,
Yeah, yeah, through the sport. We've been in the sport. My husband, Mike, and I have been in the sport for 25 years. Or he's been in the sport longer than that. The sport has really stepped up. And it was the support from the sport that enabled this to start. And now a lot of it's also transferred to Sandpoint. So, I mean, it's really, you know,
so
the local
awesome
community.
People.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
And if people wanted to donate to this, not everybody can fly to
right.
help do things there, but the other way to support is
we have our website. Mm-hmm. The website is www.uradisvillage.org, and that's uradisvillage.org. And obviously everything helps. We have a number of houses to go. So.
And Sarah, you have a couple of events coming up or some things that you're trying to really coordinate and link Sandpoint to the work that you're doing in Ethiopia.
Right. And that kind of goes back again to what we were talking about collaboration and how participating in something like this really benefits the people that might feel like they're the ones giving or supporting, but they're also getting a lot. And one of the things that we did while we were there is we've got this program started that's a school sponsorship program. So there are local kids in Soto who are with their families, but for various reasons struggle with being able to afford to go to school. Something that's really common there is for the parents to take their older kids out of school to work, whether that's on the family farm or earning money or whatever it is to support everyone else. And so one of the things we've been building and developing is this sponsorship program that helps support the families so that the kids can stay in school. Usually the money goes to, it just usually goes to pay for food, school supplies, clothing, because the kids maybe, you know, don't have clothes that are nice enough to wear to school or they can't afford the books. And so we've been, I went and met all of the students. We've got 21 students and they range in age. We actually have a few that are in university, but most of them are like high school, middle school age, and even a little bit younger. And what we're going to be doing is we want to do a school sponsorship drive where people here in Sandpoint or anywhere else, it's not limited to Sandpoint, can sponsor a student for $20 a month. And that goes to help keep them in school and help them, you know, help their families financially. So that's also something I'm going to be working with some of the local schools here to kind of build connections between the students in Soto and the students here, which I think outside of supporting the students in Soto, it's going to be hugely beneficial for the kids here to have this relationship with someone that lives a very different life. And together, you know, through this relationship, they can hopefully help each other and just basically expanding awareness of some of the different things in the world.
Will there be a dialogue between the sponsor and the child?
Yes. So one of the things that I did when we were there this time is I met with all the students because I wanted to make sure that, you know, the students that are in the program are appropriate for the program. I visited some of the schools, three of the schools actually, and what we're going to be doing is we will be doing updates regularly, probably every month or so, sending pictures, and I'd like to set it up so that, you know, if there's like a classroom here in Sandpoint that would like to communicate with a classroom there or a particular student, that we can do emails or we can maybe be sending letters.
Hey, Facebook that, Live.
Right. You know, like it would right. be awesome to be able to do a live thing.
I have used Facebook yeah. Live.
And or just your cell phone video. It's mm-hmm. amazing the connectedness we can have yeah. now across mm-hmm. the world. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the connectedness is the key, mm-hmm. right there. I mean, that's what we want with this part of the program is to connect these kids and just see what happens out of that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no way to know what you're going to get out of that kind of expanded consciousness. So
do the kids there speak English?
They speak a little bit. They learn English in school, but it's kind of like anywhere else where if you're not practicing it and you don't have someone to like speak with, mm-hmm. it's a little bit difficult for them to really use it. So mm-hmm.
they love to speak.
Yeah, I mean, they like
when, you know,
to,
when we're there, yeah. they're practicing as much as possible and, you know, hi, how yeah. are you? My name is, mm-hmm. you know, and they really love to practice.
Yeah.
Sarah, you mentioned this school sponsorship and these children trying to keep them in school so they don't have to go out and work to help support the family. Mm-hmm. What does it take? I mean, we're talking about having a relationship with students around the world, kind of a global village. But what does it practically take to help these students stay in school?
$20 a month.
Yeah.
So the sponsorship is the $20 a month. And that money mm-hmm. goes directly. It gets handed to the parents. Or if the students are in college, I've spoken with our coordinator over there and they give it to the college students, but it goes right to the families to help make sure that the kids can stay in school. And it, you know, it's not a one hit solution, but it's a step that we've decided we want to take to try to start making an impact on these other local kids who, you know, they have their families, but they just have some limited resources. So, yeah.
That's good to know. And so we heard about the move and the celebratory aspect of that, and everyone's relieved and happy that the babies, the 30-plus babies, are in their little room and the toddlers. So totally, I heard a number, 56.
Yep,
yeah.
Total 56.
How old are your mm-hmm. oldest kids at the village?
Our oldest is 14.
And do they reach an age which they blossom out? Or?
Our We haven't had that happen yet, but the children will either be steered towards university or vocational school. Some of our handicapped children will need to figure out, you know, where they can be the most useful for themselves and where they can have a solid life. We have some really intelligent kids with handicaps, and so we're looking at a deaf boarding school in Addis for some of our kids who are hearing impaired. But each of the children will be channeled in a direction, and then we'll transition out. Our goal is to rent a couple of houses in town and have transition housing for the children as they leave the village and enter the real world.
Mm-hmm. So what's the next step for this never-ending project that you've taken on for your lifetime?
The next step is to continue the village build and then to put businesses in place and really work on the agriculture. Our permaculture expert, Warren Brush, will be back in October, and we'll be making a big push at that point to plant everything and really get the place up and running that way. Although we are already, you know, producing all of our own fruits and vegetables for the kids, and the kids are learning. You know, that's another really big piece, is that these kids are able to learn sustainable farming methods, mm-hmm. and take that then into their lives and into their communities, which spreads that word. And Ethiopia is 83% of the people in Ethiopia make their living through agriculture. And so if these sustainable farming practices can be used, it's going to change so many aspects of life there.
And I think to add to that we've already produced enough food, even with just like the beginnings of our permaculture growing area, we've already produced enough to share with the community. So things like kale and different greens and things like that we've just started sharing it with the neighbors.
The good news in the southern part of Ethiopia, the water is not a problem. I mean, we're right now on the national news scene, we're hearing about food shortages.
Right. It is a problem still in our area. The water, the city water, our city water's off more often than it's on. A pipe was broken about 3 months ago, and we haven't had water since then.
The infrastructure.
Yeah.
It's sanitation.
Really tough. Yeah.
You mentioned that is an issue.
People getting
sick from the water.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you drill a well?
We've just started investigating a well. We just are fundraising for that. Wells are very expensive. There's only two well diggers in Ethiopia. So it's not cheap to get them to come and drill a well, but we are fundraising for that, and that's going well. So I think we will have a well. We also have rainwater catchment systems in place. The rains started. I spoke to Eric last night, and it's been raining for the last week, and they've caught a ton of water.
So you have a cistern.
So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, we're going to run out of time shortly, but Sarah, if somebody wants to connect with you for the sponsorship program, how do they do that?
We have a couple different ways to do that. We have a website, which Jennifer already mentioned, but just again, it's uriadisvillage.org, uriadisvillage.org. And we also have a Facebook page. So if you just look for us on Facebook, I don't think you can miss us because I think we're the only one with that name.
Yeah, and just sending a message.
Yeah, and sending a message either way. If you go through our website, we've got, of course, email links to myself or to Jennifer. And Facebook, same thing. We both pretty much monitor that on a daily, multiple times a day basis.
And I'll say right now, I'm looking at your Facebook page, and there's a great story about a couple of the baby girls that you adopted. And seeing those kind of, I'd like to encourage you to put those kind of stories about the kids and tell us what the kids' stories are, because I'm sure they're amazing.
Oh, man. There's so many stories. Yeah. And on our website, if you go to the videos page, there's individual stories on one of the little girls that you're discussing or that you were mentioning on the Facebook page. She has her own video, Kestrel. She was actually aborted at 7 months. And
she lived.
Yeah, she was a miracle baby, and she lived, and she was less than 2 pounds. And I named her Kestrel because they came and they said, "What's her name right now?" And I said, "Usually we think about these things for a minute. Yeah. Have a minute? No. And she looked like this tiny baby bird. And Kestrels are very strong. Yeah, right. And so we named her Kestrel, and she's thriving now.
Yeah. And she was like a pound and a half when
she was born. Yeah, she was a long shot.
And you have a picture of her there, and she looks really happy.
She is such a giggler. Yeah. She's so cute.
But if you go on our website, you will see the video of her when she came in and how tiny and sickly she was. Mm-hmm. And we have stories on some of our other kids as well, because there's some incredible stories out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to say two things. Congratulations and thank you for the work that you're doing. And bravo for moving into your village there at in Soto.
Ethiopia.
Walita. Walita. Mm-hmm. Walita Village. it makes me want to go there. If I was different right now, I would go and just hold the babies. You know, I know they need arms to hold them. Hopefully the villagers could come up and hang out too.
Yeah.
We want to build more connection with the community too. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a big part of what we're working towards. So, mm-hmm. and I also just want to add that, like, I feel like it's such a privilege to do this. I mean, thank you guys for having us in, but like, this is the kind of thing that as a little kid, I wanted to do. And it just feels like a gift mm-hmm. to be able to be involved yeah. with this.
It's called really good work for your lifetime.
Yeah.
And thank you again for coming in. We're going to...
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having us. Thank you for the continued dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really you know where to call to come on again.
Yes.
Let us know what the next steps are. And if you need anything, let us know.
Yeah. For sure.
So thank you, Sarah Clintworth and Jennifer Crooks from Eurotes Village.
Thank you so much.
We want to take a little musical break and then have our second guest, Bernie Mosier, come in. He wants to tell us about his new show, Easy on a Wednesday Morning.
Coming up just next week.
Coming up next week mm-hmm. on a Wednesday, of course. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm going to...